Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and we're in our studio inside Renaissance Bank in beautiful Alpharetta, right on Windward Parkway. Folks, if you're in Alpharetta, it's right across from the Home Depot. But here's the deal. If you're not in Alpharetta, still good news. There's over 200 offices that Renaissance operates around the South ready to serve you. And they do that in a personal way. So you know how you go into some bank offices and they'd rather you be using the ATM or they really don't want to deal with you personally? Well, that's not the case at Renaissance. And I know that myself personally for me and my clients. So if you're looking for something more than a big bank experience, you know what I mean. If you're looking for personal service from a bank, but yet a bank that's big enough to handle pretty much any need you can throw at them, go to renaissancebank.com and give them a try. I think you'll be glad you did. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now I want to welcome Sebastian Flores. Sebastian is the founder of OctoGifts, and his mom, Melanie, is here. I'm not sure what her title is. We'll get to that in a second. Sebastian Flores, founder of OctoGifts, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me. I was on here, I don't know how long ago it was.
Like October 2019, I think.
Yeah, almost 2 years ago. You've grown. Mm-hmm. Grown in mind and body, both. But for those that didn't get to hear that show and don't know OctoGifts, let's give them an introduction. How are you serving folks out there?
So my company, OctoGifts, is based here in Alpharetta, and I create these paper gumball machines that are kind of like a combination of a keepsake or like a gift or just something you give to someone so that they can have like just something special they can have on their desk or on their shelf. And right now I sell them as kits. So you get this plastic envelope in the mail that will have all the parts you need and a little QR code you scan on the back. And it walks you through how to put together your own gumball machine. And I've had people order these for birthdays or for company swag or just anything, even for fundraisers that I did for a couple schools. Or just like I had a school up in Boston order some to give out to their graduating kids.
Yeah.
So they just had a little logo on them, and then they were in the shape of a little graduate. So it had like a little cap and gown, and it was really cute.
That's pretty cool. So what you're talking about, Sebastian, and I want to get into the putting them together because you're kind of scaring me with that because I don't know how to put things together. So we'll talk about that. But what you're talking about is something memorable that people keep, right? I mean, really what you're talking about, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. We were talking before we came on the air. It's really a nice thank you. I mean, if you want to give a thank you to a client or for a business or something like that, it's really a pretty effective thank you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like you could write them a little card or a note or something that they'll read and then throw away. Or you could give them a candy machine that they'll put together and then put up on their shelf. And then you're always there. Your thank you stays with them.
Wow. Can't beat that. And everybody loves candy, right? Mm-hmm. So let's talk about how you came up with this product. How did that happen?
I guess it kind of stemmed from, well, obviously a love of candy and a love of paper and origami and just figuring out how things worked. So when I was younger, I would put together these, I would find like recycling, like old boxes or scraps of paper or plastic, just old containers or like shipping boxes. And I would create these elaborate machines out of them. Like I made a pinball machine once that didn't work very well, but I made it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that kind of turned into working with paper and origami and then cutting up paper. And then for 1 year, I wanted to give one of my friends who loves candy just like me, I wanted to give him a little candy dispenser, but I couldn't find anywhere online that would show me how to do that. So instead, I just made one myself. So I took some stuff from our recycling, like a paper towel roll and an empty candy box, and I cut them up, and I sat on the floor with my hot glue gun, and I put it together, and I had a pretty rough candy dispenser, but it worked. And I wrote a little note on the back, and I gave it to him, and he loved it. And then that kind of stuck with me a few years later when I was trying to think of ways I could earn some money. So I redesigned the candy dispenser I made for him, but this time entirely out of paper, so I could just print off the sheets, cut them out, and then assemble them into candy dispensers. And I made them in the shape of a little heart, so it would be like a box of chocolates, but made out of paper that actually dispensed candy. And I sold them as a little Valentine's Day special for like $14, because February 14th.
Yeah.
And the few that I listed on my Etsy shop sold out in a few hours. So I made more and I put them up. And those sold out too. So then I knew I was onto something. And from there I just grew it and I made more designs. And I made DIY kits, which I sell now.
Wow. That's awesome. Now, why the leap? I mean, there's a lot of things you could do to make money, right? I mean, why did you decide to turn this into a business?
Well, being the 13-year-old I was at the time, I couldn't legally go get a job, like a traditional job.
Mm-hmm.
And if I wanted to make money, that means I had to find a different way. And in the state of Georgia, you can, as a person 12 years and up, you can work on a family business, which this is considered a family business. So. Mm-hmm. Then I just needed a product, and it seemed like the perfect thing. It was something I'd made myself, and it was something I had a connection to.
Awesome. Now, you've already cycled. You've already had one employee that you've laid off, right?
Yes, I have.
We got to let folks in on this. Okay, Melanie, here you come. So let's talk about your role in the company, what it used to be, and what it is now.
Well, when Sebastian was 13 and he came up with the idea for this, he asked for my help in getting the word out and growing the business. So from 2019 until early this year, we were working pretty much side by side, and I was helping him. You know, we got the website launched. We ended up incorporating new products and all that. But along the way, behind the scenes, he was also growing as a person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he started out as a 13-year-old and not sure how to do, you know, get things done. He had some ideas, and now he's 15. You know, he started high school. He's learning how to drive. You know, he's buying his own clothes. He's basically doing everything that a teenager does as they're starting to become their own person. And this just kind of fell in with it. He started wanting to do more and make more decisions and find out, you know, what happens if I make this call? And he wanted to know what it was like to actually make decisions and know that he was going to be responsible for the fallout. He said, that's the best way I'm going to learn. I mean, even if I mess up, I mean, I'm going to learn more if I'm the one making the decision. So he actually asked me, do you mind if I, you know, I would actually like to be the one in control, and but can I come to you if I need anything? But I, you know, I want it to be mine. And that's how it happened. And I said, okay, you know, and I have to admit it was kind of hard because I was so excited about working on this with him. But I also recognize that it's just, he's right. I mean, you will learn more from your own mistakes and from your own decisions. So I've stepped back, and there are some things he does still want me to work on, but he definitely... He's in the driver's seat now.
That's awesome. Now, did you have any misgivings, Sebastian, about having that conversation?
It was a little tough.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I knew this was kind of her thing, too, and she wouldn't want to step away so easily. So it was a little tough trying to approach her about it. But
yeah, yeah. Well, there's a lot of lessons in this, because we have a number of founders of companies that come in here all the time, and, you know, things change and life changes. And sometimes you have to make those changes for the best. It's really for the best interest of the company too. Right. So, and let's be clear, you're 15 years old, but you got a real company. So you got to look out for the best interest of the company, right?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. So What duties are you still active in for the company, Melanie?
So he has told me that he's fine with me continuing to do the newsletter and social media posts. He doesn't even have a LinkedIn account right now. And there's social media posts like that. The taxes, QuickBooks, I'm doing that. And that's pretty much it. Anything that's, I guess, what I consider kind of the boring stuff.
Right.
He was happy to let me keep doing.
So why did you decide to not do those things yourself, Sebastian?
Well, I don't like doing them.
There you go. And so now, do you pay your mom to do them, or is she just doing that because she's a good mom?
I consider it volunteer work.
That's pretty awesome.
Pro bono.
Yeah, pro bono. Well, so, but there's a lesson in this. We were talking about this, folks, before we came on the air, how founders need to outsource those things that they're not good at, or they're somebody else is better at, and because they've got better uses for their time. Your time's better spent on developing product and shipping product and that kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So, so Melanie, you must be pretty proud, though. Seriously, I mean, we've been having a lot of fun with this, but and you have particularly been having a lot of fun, even though there's bittersweet aspects to it, as you've outlined. But you must be awfully proud of Sebastian.
Oh yeah, we are proud of him.
Mm-hmm.
That's very awesome. Much so.
That's awesome. Okay, so it's good that there's a great labor market out there. Let's, because you've been able to find a job. So after getting quote laid off unquote,
we thank you for your service.
Talk about what you're up to, briefly.
So I joined an Alpharetta EdTech startup called SimTrain, and we actually upskill and reskill employees, you know, customer facing employees. We basically we scale experiential learning. So if there's the conversations that your customer-facing employees have over and over again, which is exactly what, like when you work in a call center, you have the same conversations over and over again. We provide training, automated role-playing exercises so that you can practice those conversations in a safe environment instead of with actual customers before you end up, you know, being turned loose.
Ah, love it. Well, we'll have to hear more about that another day. But Sebastian, I want to come back around to you and talk about, revealing my uncertainty about taking these kits and putting them together. Assure me of my uncertainty. You have got good directions on how a knucklehead like me can put them together?
Well, it's pretty simple. I mean, there's a YouTube video online that literally you just watch, and I've created it so that you can watch someone putting it together and a voiceover explaining exactly what's happening.
Perfect.
And the parts themselves, they fit together really well. And some of the kits actually have these little sticky tabs. You don't even need glue. You just peel off these double-sided stickers and you put them where they're supposed to go. And then the machine just kind of comes together.
That's awesome. Did you have any other option but beyond do-it-yourself that you considered, or why do-it-yourself?
Well, at first I was selling them pre-made, so I would put them all together myself, but they took way too long to do that and to fairly compensate myself for the time I was spending on putting them together. I would have to charge way more than I think most people would think they're worth. Since I was just one person putting them together, not a whole factory of people. So by selling them as do-it-yourself kits, I can make them a lot faster. And then it also is kind of an experience, so the person buying it gets to put it together themselves instead of just having a product that they bought.
Cool. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So let's talk about the journey of the business and kind of maybe some, you don't necessarily have to mention them by name unless it's okay to do so, but talk about who some of your clients are and how you've really grown beyond just selling on Etsy, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I actually had my biggest order earlier this summer. It was for 75 kits So I spent about a month just cutting pieces and then assembling them into these kits that I sent out to a children's organization.
Uh-huh.
ICANN, yeah, yeah, International Children's Advisory Network.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. So if you were wondering what you were going to do this summer, there an answer came through the order bucket there, right? So it sounds like that kept you busy.
Oh, there's a story there, actually.
Yeah,
he
please.
He fired me right before that order came in. So can you imagine? Like, he said, I took a step back, and then this order came in, and he actually said, I don't want you to help me. Don't help me. It's like, okay.
Wow.
So he would go in the basement, and I wasn't allowed to help unless he asked me. But I have to admit, there were a couple times that after he went to bed, I just went down there and just looked.
It just looked?
I just looked. And sure enough, he had all this stuff like laid out. But I tell you, it was something, the timing. But it was good. He really pulled through.
Wow. That's pretty cool. So that 75 kits. Let's talk about, it sounds like scale is a question, right? So have you thought about that? And how you continue to grow the business and scale it to whatever size you think you want to scale it to?
Not really.
Yeah?
I guess the next step, obviously, would be, rather than cutting out these parts myself and assembling them, just getting someone else to do it for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And it sounds like you'll kind of know when that is, mm-hmm. in terms of just where the business is at that point. So you're about to start school again.
Tomorrow, actually.
How do you run this business while you're in school?
I have time on weekends or after school. I can make it work.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So what is the, what's the future hold for Sebastian? I mean, what are you looking to what do you think you want to do college-wise, or are you just going straight to entrepreneurship, or what's going to happen to Sebastian? What do you got in mind right now?
Well, before,
and I won't tell your mom, don't worry.
Okay. Before I go to college, I want to give a TED or TEDx talk.
Oh, wow.
I think that would be a great experience.
Wow.
And I do want to go to college.
Okay.
Somewhere out of state.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. You don't know anybody that's been TEDx, have you?
My mom's given two.
I do that. That's why I brought that up. That's a pretty worthy goal. So what would your TEDx topic be?
Something about OctoGifts.
Yeah, of course.
I don't really know. I mean, I have a lot of experiences I could talk about. I guess I was just picking one.
Do you think that young men, women your age realize how much entrepreneurship is open to them if they decide to go in that direction? Or what do you think about that?
Well, I mean, yeah, I think so, because there's people like me who do. I know other people who also around my age who run their own businesses, and I mean it's kind of been opened up a lot more recently, so that it's kind of like everyone knows, entrepreneurship is a viable career path, and I mean you can do it before you even graduate high school. So yeah, I do think people my age know that.
And so for all those old people out there that old in mentality that don't think young people work that hard, you're working pretty hard if you're going to school and running a company at the same time, right?
Yeah.
He was up till 1-2 o'clock a couple times during that. Remember that? He was down there burning the midnight oil in the basement.
During the crush? Earlier this summer? Okay. Gotcha. So And folks, just to reintroduce, we're sitting here chatting with Sebastian Flores. He's the founder of OctaGifts, and he brought along his mom, Melanie Flores, who's unemployed. And seriously, she has been advising Sebastian along the way. We kind of alluded to your TEDx talks, so let's shout that out, Melanie. Talk about what you have encouraged in your TEDx talks you've done.
They're pretty similar in that they're both about encouraging young people to be creative and innovative. And so the first one was about my work with very young children, kindergartners, actually. I had a very supportive colleagues, and they joined with me at this Montessori school up in Boston to help us create an engineering workshop for kindergartners. So they were designing shoes out of household scraps. But that was with the younger set. And then the most recent one was that with TEDx Alpharetta Women. And that was about how to encourage girls to stick with STEM and to get their hands dirty using tools and to never stop thinking about ways to repurpose things to solve problems. So they're both similar in that way. It was about just getting kids to think creatively and to put their ideas out into the world.
That's awesome. So, Sebastian, I want you to give advice to young people your age. I was kind of going there earlier, that maybe want to start their own company. What kind of advice would you give them?
I would tell them that there are plenty of networks that exist already to help them on their journey. So there's, I'm sure, like in Alpharetta or in Atlanta, there are many tech development centers like ATDC or the
Tech Alpharetta.
Yeah, Tech Alpharetta, that are just full of people who have lived the experiences that they're about to have and can give them advice on how to run things, and just know that it is okay to ask someone for help if you don't know how to do something.
So that's great advice, Sebastian. And I know that there's a lot of folks out there that would value that. And, but one of the things that young people need are parents that can kind of step away at the right time too, right? And allow you to do what you asked to do, which is be able to learn by making mistakes. So, Mom, you might want to give advice to parents that, like the helicopter parents out there, we know, right? We know that maybe lean in too much. And what do you think?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I have to say that it is not easy. And I know that I've ventured into that territory myself, and my kids are quick to point out when I'm going there. So I'm grateful to them.
Yep.
I guess I would just say that I think the things the three things that I think kids need if they want to become entrepreneurs is they need time and space and permission. And from time, I mean, make sure that you give them a chance to get bored. Mm. Don't have them so tightly scheduled that they don't have time to get bored. And I think that there were a lot of long periods of time where Sebastian was just sitting around while his brother was at karate or swim practice. And so he would get bored, so he'd find things to do. And that act of finding something to do is incredibly, I don't know, it's like fertilizer, really, for the mind when it comes to coming up with an idea for a business. So there's time, and then there's space. I would say now this might not fly with some people, but I actually don't mind when he's messy as long as he contains it to his room. But I feel like a messy mind, actually, sometimes you end up combining things that you would not have thought to combine because they're sitting there together. Instead of putting something away, you have it sitting there next to something else. And sometimes it just takes looking at those two things sitting next to each other that shouldn't be. And then you're like, hey, I wonder what if I did this and this? So, and then the third one was permission. I think it's just permission to just try things and to fail. Just permission to just answer that question for yourself. What if I did this?
Wow. That's awesome. Well, congratulations to both of you for the journeys you're on. That's awesome. And for sharing your story. I mean, because it's hard to come on and maybe talk about the dynamics of a family business. So thank you for doing that. So Sebastian, let's get to the most important question, which is for those that want to be in touch and learn more about your products, let's give them directions on how they can do that.
You can visit my website at www.octogifts.com. That's OctoGifts.com. Or you can find our Instagram page, which is octo.gifts. And you can follow us on Facebook, which is octogifts1.
Awesome. Terrific. Sebastian Flores, the founder of OctoGifts, thank you for being with us. And Melanie Flores, thanks for coming with Sebastian.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks to both of you. Hey, folks, just a quick reminder, if you want to follow Sebastian's example and outsource some things in your business that are really you shouldn't be working on, I've got an answer for you that involves something more than calling up Melanie because she's busy. You've got to go call SES Cabido over at Office Angel, 770-442-9246. So here's the deal. What SE has is a whole team of angels that fly in and get the job done. And that job may be virtual administration. It may be bookkeeping. It may be all sorts of different services that they offer. And they get the work done and they fly out and they do it on an ongoing or as needed basis. Essie's a problem solver for small business. So I encourage you to call her and let her help you. She's certainly done that for me and my business. And folks, just a quick reminder that North Fulton Business Radio is the search term on all the major podcast apps. Here is my bold request, and I think you'll understand why I'm saying this. We want you to go on your favorite app and subscribe to the show and then give us a 5-star review. It's not about me. It's not about Business Radio X. It's about our great guest, guests like Sebastian, who have done great work, and their work deserves to be found. And it's easier to find them sometimes if there's great reviews on our show, so people can more easily find the show and find them. So if you could do that for us, I'd appreciate it. So for my guests, Sebastian and Melanie Flores, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.